Will you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 8? Matthew chapter 8, please. I want to speak this evening on the centurion's faith and the spoken word. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the self same hour. Wonderful portion of scripture. Let us pray. Father, as we bow our heads in your presence, we thank you for those you have brought this evening. We thank you for everyone who has turned out, and we ask you to bless them and to speak to our hearts, increase our faith this evening, and help us to see Jesus, not only to see you, Lord, as a man, but to see you in all your splendor and your wonder. Glorify your name tonight. We ask it for your name and for your glory and for thy sake. The Lord Jesus Christ, in thy name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Is my mic messing about, is it? Don't know what that is. Do I need a different mic? All right. I'll put it in this pocket and see, maybe a jacket. That's a bulletproof jacket. I mightn't get through it. You see that one? It is not, by the way. Forgive me, Lord. The centurion's faith in the spoken word. The word centurion is mentioned some 20 times in the King James Bible, and all of them are found in the New Testament. This is the first mention of the word centurion in Matthew 8 and verse 5. In this first mention, we see him coming to Jesus, it says, beseeching him to heal his servant who was sick of the palsy and was grievously tormented. Of this centurion, Jesus said in Matthew 8 at the end of verse 10, he says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Notice what he says, I have found so great faith, no, not in Israel. We want to really hang on everything on that statement this evening. Some say this centurion, in fact, most of the times through the New Testament, the centurions were actually helpful or in some way even pleasant right through the scripture. We see the one at the cross, and even though the crucifixion under his guard took place, yet he said, surely this man was a righteous man. The Apostle Paul was helped and advised by a centurion on his travels as he was being brought to Rome. Even though still under his guard, he was treated well by the centurion. Centurion is over anything between 80 to 100 plus men. And this centurion here is no different, only this. There's something about the faith of this man. Some say these centurions, or some of the Roman soldiers even, were Israelites who had been gentilized. And hence they see the Christ whom they knew as Messiah who had come. And there are other theories and other teaching on that. We're not getting into that tonight. But I want you to see this. This centurion had faith. Now, we know that faith is imputed by God. So God done something in this centurion's heart that he would see who Christ really was. I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel, says the Lord Jesus. So we're told this man comes beseeching Jesus. And the word here, beseeching, is the word parakaleo. It comes from two words which are put together to make it. One is para, which means to come alongside of. For example, the Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the one called alongside of in order to help. When Jesus taught in parables, it is to take a story with, if you want, an heavenly or kingdom parable meaning, and to throw it alongside to make comparison with what was happening, what Jesus was saying. Parable, paraclete, and this is parakaleo. The second word, kaleo, means to call, to speak out, but it actually can mean to call one by a name or their name. Notice here in verse 6, he calls Jesus Lord. Lord. Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and grievously tormented. So this is the calling. He doesn't say Jesus. We don't read that. But he calls him Lord. And then again in verse 8, he says, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, it's this faith that Jesus answers. It was this faith which Jesus told his followers, his disciples of. I haven't found faith like this. No, not in Israel, he says. But this man, this Roman centurion, has faith. The word Lord, L-O-R-D, is the word kurios, and it means master. It can be to someone who is an owner of something. It can be the word sir, so it's pleasantries at times. But we have to look into this because this centurion wasn't just saying, excuse me, sir, or we would say, Mr. So-and-so. He called him kurios, Lord. And Lord also is the name, the Greek name for Yahweh or Jehovah. Kurios means one who is the supreme in authority. So this centurion with imputed faith is looking to say, there's more to this man than meets the natural eye. There's more to this man which meets the natural eye. He wasn't just saying it as a way of courtesy, sir. What good would saying sir be to an ordinary man and then say, speak the word only and my servant would be healed? It doesn't go with it. It just doesn't match up. There had to be something else in this man, Jesus, that the centurion recognized and believed in that made him say, kurios. You are Jehovah. And if you speak the word only, my servant will be healed. One can't help thinking that he's seen more, he believed greater, and he had faith to know who he was speaking to. This centurion said more than sir. The centurion said, Lord, you're in control of what is happening to my servant. In verse 6, notice what he says. Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And then he says in verse 8, if you look at it, Lord, I am not worthy. Here he calls him Lord the second time. I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, we're going to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And here's the thing. We're going to have a difficulty on our hands. Luke chapter 7 to Luke's account, if you will. Let's read from verse 1. And when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man sent under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say, go unto one. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. We have a difficulty here. We have a couple of difficulties here. Luke tells us the centurion sent out the elders of the Jews. Matthew tells us of the centurion who just came to Jesus. Luke says, no, he sent out the elders of the Jews. Will you come? Jesus comes, and then the centurion again sent out his servants when he wasn't far from the centurion's house. So we have a problem, haven't we? What do we do with this? I want you to catch this, because some people would say, oh, well, this contradiction, it shows that the scriptures aren't inerrant. No, no, no. We can show you that there's a reason behind this for you tonight and for me. I want you to see the man, Christ Jesus. I want you to see the power of his word. I want you to see that there is more to Jesus than meets the natural eye. Luke tells us that the servant sends out the elders of the Jews, and then he sends out his servants. And in verse 5 it says, they say, the Jews, for he loveth our nation, he hath built us a synagogue. As if that's going to move Jesus. Jesus was coming to put the axe to the root of this religion. That wouldn't move Jesus, but in compassion he goes with them. Then the centurion sends out his servants when he's not far from the house. And notice it says in verse 6, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. And then in verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and thy servant shall be healed. So this contradiction needs to be married up. I'm going to give you four brief, very brief and quick points. There's men who have far greater minds than mine. I get this mic fixed a wee minute.
Yourselves, we might be a second. So here are four quick points. Bigger, better, more intelligent minds than mine. But I'm going to give you the fourth one, which is what my thinking is on it. There seems to be this contradiction here between Matthew and Luke's account, so how do we reconcile? First of all, Matthew, in his gospel, frequently abbreviates some of the things he speaks about. So some commentators say Matthew just abbreviated it. So he doesn't mention the elders and he doesn't mention the servants and not far from the house and all of that. But it seems as though Matthew has it that this centurion is right up to Jesus beseeching him. So it doesn't really match, I don't think, at what some of them say. Secondly, some say when Jesus came near the centurion's house, that the centurion came out and sent servants on out. And it was at this point he could hear. And they could hear each other. More plausible, maybe. And this is where the beseeching was. But the scriptures tell us it was the servants who brought the word. Beseeching. And then thirdly, in ancient times and in cultures, it was deemed that a person acting through a messenger was doing the action themselves. It was legally and socially acceptable, as though you're speaking to the person face to face. So Matthew is giving us the idea that this centurion was as if he's speaking face to face with Jesus. And Luke is telling us the detail. So I wrote, fourthly is mine. And trying to marry them up, the centurion sent out, as it were, the Jewish leaders as emissaries. And then when they came, possibly he comes out to the door, he sends out his servants with his word, as it says in Luke, and he tells them, you're my ambassadors, you're my representatives. And so they go to speak the word to Jesus as though they are him, he himself. At some point, Jesus may have seen him, meeting him in the vicinity of his home. And seeing him from the distance, the servants come out. He is represented in them. His word is beseeching through them to Jesus. So in Luke 7 and verse 8, he says, and I think this is important, I am a man sent under authority. Notice the closeness of the language. It's as if they're face to face. Do the servants go back again and then come back with the word again? I don't know. I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh. And to my servant, do this and he doeth it. So in a nutshell, this centurion, he knew the power of the spoken word. We need to catch this, brothers and sisters, tonight. He knew the power of the spoken word, which was given under authority and with command. So he tells his servants, be my voice, be my hands, be my feet, be my expression, so to speak. And this is what you say to him. The centurion, his word was that of the power of a man. A powerful man, but yet that of a man. His authority was only over so much, but under others also. His ability was limited where others had to do the labor for him. And this limited this man, and this limited his word.
and all that he was and could do, even though he was a centurion over around 100 men. But when Jesus came, and here's the difference. When Jesus came, he says unto him, he says through his messengers, his servants, which he sent in his name, with his authority, with his word, he says to Jesus, Lord, Kurios, I am not worthy of you. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. I'm not worthy you should do anything for me. You see, friends, God owes me nothing. But yet he gives so much. He sees Jesus as the Word of God, the Logos of the Father, the fullness of God represented in the perfect man of Calvary. And he sees him, listen, and as we said, it's by faith. He sees him in faith. A faith that others didn't see him in. Listen, and a faith the Jewish elders didn't see him in. They didn't have it. But this man did. And he looks at him and he says, Lord. He goes to the servants, go out and tell him. I've called him Lord. Don't even come to this house. Because I'm not worthy that you would even be under my roof. You know, when we meet with great expectation, don't we? I do. And he will always be here. He'll always turn up as such. He'll always come and in his powerful anointing. And we need to still come expecting. But we also need to get a balance where ignorance and arrogance and apathy doesn't set in to the assembly or to our hearts, where we just take them like Samson took his anointing for granted. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And every time he was bound with fetters, they broke like thin cords, as though they were burnt. And he fought the Philistines and defeated them, until one day he tells and gives away the secret of the covenant in the cutting of his hair. When Delilah cuts the hair, the Philistines be upon thee. He says, it says he gets up as usual, just as he always would do. And he expected it just to happen. And he took God for granted. He took him for granted. And the Philistines took him into captivity. Oh, how many times do we take him for granted? Our lives have been elsewhere and somewhere. And then suddenly we just take him for granted. And yet he owes us nothing. We're not worthy that he should come under this roof. But in his great mercy, in his great grace, and in his wonderful, enduring love and patience with us, still he remains faithful to turn up and to anoint us with his Spirit. He's a wonderful Savior. This is the faith of an old centurion. I'm not worthy of you. Now here's what I want you to catch. The main thing, because this involves you and me in our walk with Christ. Sending out these servants with authority, they could say, I'm come in the name of centurion such and such. And Jesus, in the name of centurion such and such, in the authority that he holds and in the authority of his word, he says, would you come and heal his servant? Comes alongside, beseeching means, we always think beseeches, oh, please, 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 please. It's not what it means. It may at other times, but not here. It means to come along and call him Lord. And he sends out the word, he's the Lord. I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, he says. And he's given us the authority as though we are him. This centurion and his faith. He says, I have men under me and they do what they're told. Look, the servants have went out. Even the Jewish elders who wouldn't have really got on too well with this Roman centurion, but he seemed to be generous to them and they tolerated each other. Even they went out. Maybe he held something over them to say, you go because I've been good to you. You do something for me. I don't know. But that seems to be the narrative that they're speaking of here. But by the time he comes near the house, the servants go out as his emissaries, as his ambassadors. And they speak as though he speaks with the authority of his word and his title and his name. Lord, he says, Kurios, you are the one who is in supreme and control and authority. If he had sent them out, and just to be curious, courtesy, they would have said, excuse me, sir, you wouldn't mind coming. Curious, as sir, doesn't fit there. Comes and he says, Kurios, speak the word and my servant shall be healed. If you're here and speak, he'll be healed there. Sir doesn't cut the bill there, does it? But to say Jehovah, the supreme, one in authority, control, and the owner of all things. All things are under your care, control, and command. Jesus says himself, will you turn with me to John 14, please? John 14. This is a different sort of a message tonight because said Wednesday night we're in the prayer meeting and we're praying. And I say again, thank the church for praying for us and they're really seeking the Lord and just praying and praying and praying. Great prayers going up, power in the meeting and power in the prayers. And to be honest, this narrative came into my mind. And when I got home, I said, Lord, I'm going to write that for Sunday night. Notice what he says here, if you will, in John 14 and in verse 9. Well, let me just get it as well. John 14, please, verse 9. In fact, go to verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, notice, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. He's not just saying, sir, here. He's using the same word as the centurion, but it's not just sir. Lord, show us the Father. It'll satisfy us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now hold on, let me stop here. To the deity deniers of Christ. So if you ask, notice, in my name, I will do. And he says in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If he's just a man, if he's even at the most a prophet, and he has died, as some would say, or even risen from the dead and been ascended, how can he do it when you and I are praying today? I will do it, he says. Because he is the Word of the eternal God. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal Spirit. He is the one true living God, Jehovah of the old covenant, the Son of God standing before him. And now this centurion, he sees through the flesh with an eye of faith. That's why the world can't see him. And when he's hanging on Calvary's tree, and when he's bleeding and dying for you and for me, we love him because we know who he is. He left his throne of glory and he came to do his Father's will. This is who our Savior is. This is the Christ of God. Notice, I will do it. In Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 3, Jesus is described as the image. In fact, he's described as the express image of the invisible God. If you take a coin out of your pocket, you maybe have, I don't know, maybe the king on it in the back of it. I haven't even got it. I haven't any money. My wife takes it all. But you'll see the image on the back of it, the imprint. This is the idea of it. That imprint says, well, there's the king's coin. That's why when they said about paying taxes, Jesus says, give me a coin. And he looks at it. He says, whose image and superscription is on that? Caesar's. And he says, then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. That's the express image. And now the emissary from heaven comes. And he comes and the centurion realizes, I'm a man and can send out men to speak to you. I'm a man, but yet I see I'm unworthy of you. I'm a man and I have these at my command, but you are the Lord of glory. You're the one from heaven. You're the emissary of God, the one made flesh who's come to die for me. That's Christ. That's the one we serve tonight. Not express image, as Jesus says, or the book of Hebrews says, that Jesus is like that image. He's the express image of the invisible God. In John 5 and verse 43, Jesus says, I am come in my Father's name. The word would be onomos, and it means I'm come. And as far as I am come, not only am I express image, but I am come, and I am come with his authority. I am come in my Father's name means I am come. And as I have stepped from heaven into flesh, I represent Almighty God on earth. I'm come in my Father's name. Now, this centurion sends out these servants, and they do exactly the same from the centurion, only in an earthly manner, in a weaker sense, for that moment. And hence they come out and they say, the centurion says, that he's not worthy that you should come under his roof. But if you speak the word, his servant will be healed. I hope you catch this tonight. John 6 and 63, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. So the centurion says, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The centurion's speaking in faith was appealing to deity through humanity. In John 14 and in verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm come in my Father's name. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think Jesus is telling us that he's God. God with a face. The invisible God made visible in the person of his Son. So briefly, two quick things that this centurion said. First of all, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, he says twice. in Luke's account. The words, "I'm not worthy." Are you ready? Thought about this, and I thought, Lord, the words "I'm not worthy" are the words of a readied heart. They are the words of a readied heart. The words "I am not worthy" are the words of a repentant sinner. And the words "I am not worthy" are the words of a revelationed heart. And yes, there's such a word, a revelationed heart. In other words, it's been revealed. And I found so great faith. Well, not in Israel, he says. Revealed. Christ was revealed unto the centurion. "I'm not worthy" are the words of a regenerated heart. It's a spiritual state. I want you to catch this, because it's a spiritual state where a person's inner self, their soul, their spirit, their feelings, their motives, their mind are opened and touched and made clear by divine love. This man's heart, this hardened soldier, this man of toughened brass, he sends out to Jesus, "I'm not worthy even to go to meet you." That's the beseeching closer. "I'm not worthy to come under my roof. I'm not even worthy to meet you." And that's where the Holy Ghost brings us. He shows the sinner their unworthiness of Christ. He shows them their need of Christ. But he gives them the heart that's which is being touched by the divine love of Christ through the Holy Ghost. And this man comes out hardened and toughened, but divine love soon melted him. Soon made him see different. Oh, hardened heart tonight. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the way. And yet your heart is hardened. One must see themselves as unworthy. And without Christ, you will die in your sin and be lost for all eternity. This centurion could come into an agreement with the old patriarch Job. And Job says in Job 42 and verse 5, Job says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now my heart seeth thee." My eye sees you tonight, Jesus. I've heard of you through the preaching of your word. I have heard of you from I was a little boy or girl. I have heard of you in the mission I was in. I have heard of you from the time someone on work spoke of it. I have heard of you. And this centurion heard of him, sent for him. And then when he seen him, he says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Wow. What a view to behold the wonders of Christ. Paul says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing." He heard of Jesus and faith built in his heart. He heard of Jesus and the Holy Ghost moved on him. He heard of Jesus and he sent for him. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Listen. For those who have heard of him and refused him, rejected him for so long. Luke 5:31-32. Listen to the words of Jesus. "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." You know what Jesus is saying? If you can't see yourself as unworthy and in need of Christ and call upon his name to be saved, he says, "I'm not come to call you." Because you see, salvation is of the Lord, and the dead will stay in their dead estate unless the Holy Ghost moves. Secondly, "Speak the word only," he says, "and my servant shall be healed." I close with this statement. This statement shows his belief that Jesus was more than a mere mortal man. The centurion's word, I want you to hear now, the centurion's word carried clout with man. I say to my soldiers, go and they go. I say to my servants, do and they do it. His word carries clout with man. But Jesus, he recognizes that Jesus' word carried clout with God. Carried clout with God. When Jesus speaks the word only, he realizes if he speaks, he is the one who has clout with God, and my servant will be healed. Three very short things about this. First of all, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. This statement he's speaking and showing the omnipresence of Christ. Would you say omnipresence? For those who are not aware of what the word omnipresent means, what he's saying here, and what it means is that he's everywhere. As to his deity, he's everywhere. You turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, please. Everyone knows this is a well-known chapter, but I just want to run something past you here this evening. Let your eye run down, please. The verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. Who came from above? The Lord Jesus. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is off the earth is earthly. There's your centurion, no matter how bold and powerful he is. And speaketh off the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. I note this. This centurion sends forth his servants in his authority, in his name, as though the servants are him to meet Jesus. Now John is telling us of Jesus that Jesus himself was sent from God. And he's saying, the words that I speak are from God. Verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth him not the spirit by measure unto him. In other words, the man Christ Jesus within him is the eternal spirit. There's no measure of the Spirit with Jesus. And then notice what he says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things. Would you say all things? Because he's his emissary. The Father hath given me all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So this centurion sees through the eye of faith the omnipresence of God in Christ. He's a distance from the house. I don't know how far that is, but he's a distance from the house. Yet he believes his word spoken will be in the house. You know, whenever we're praising God here, your praises are also in heaven. You know, when we're preaching the word here, You know what we are when you're testifying at work? We're the emissaries of God, gone forth in his name. We're the emissaries. We're those who have been sent out, apostolos of God, to bring the word of God under the authority of the name of Jesus. And we speak, when we speak according to his word, we speak as if he's speaking. And his spirit takes his word and wings it to the hearts of men and women. If I don't believe that, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to bring his word anymore. That if I don't believe that when I stand behind this sacred desk, that when I bring his word, it's in his name, for his glory, in his authority, it's his word by his spirit to your hearts, and I won't do it if it's not. That's the problem, you see. Sometimes it's just a matter of, let's give a little talk. Did you ever hear that? Here's the talk. Never mind the talk. He didn't say go and talk. The Bible doesn't tell us to go and give little talks or little seminaries. It says, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and so on. Secondly, this centurion scene, first of all, his omnipresence, not his omnipotence. This shows his almighty sovereignness and his inexhaustible power. If you speak, healing will happen. Speak it here, and it'll happen there. You know, when we're praying, whether it be at home or here or Wednesday night, we're praying. And if we don't believe that through the eternal spirit, that when we're praying as according to the word of God, if we don't believe that God hears and answers prayer, let's forget about it. Paul says he's not coming as one that beateth the air. I'm not a shadow boxer, he says. I'm coming to the risen Savior, to the living Christ, to the almighty God of heaven and earth. And he says, and I know when I pray, he hears and he will answer. This is his name and his authority through his word. Thirdly and lastly, his omniscience. So his omnipresence. Would you say omnipresence again? I'm just checking you're still awake. You couldn't not be asleep with me shouting like that, could you? Can we say omnipotence? It means he's all powerful. And thirdly, and finally, omniscience. Would you say omniscience? All-knowing. All-knowing. Jesus knows his servant. The centurion's servant in the house. He knows his need. He knows how to answer it. And he knows the words to speak. You notice Jesus doesn't retort to him and say to him, okay, what's the problem, brother, that I might pray for him? What is the problem and I will speak the word? No, he's omniscient. The Father reveals it to the Son. The Father reveals it through the flesh. And the Father says, speak these words. And he speaks. I don't know what he spoke. But all I know is he spoke it there and it happened there. I know when he spoke it there, he knew where he was and he knew what he was to say and he knew what the problem was. And brothers and sisters, you and I should remember Psalm 107 and verse 20 says, of the Lord to Israel in the wilderness, he says, he sent his word and he healed them. He sent his word and he healed them. So that's the centurion's faith tonight. Just a few thoughts from sitting, looking over it again, thinking about it. And reading it over, this centurion comes out, whether he's at his doorstep, whether he's in his house, but he comes out and there's some distance away, he sends out his servants, whether he could hear his voice or they came back and forward. But here's what Paul says to you, Christian, tonight, and to me. You are the ambassadors of Christ. And you know, ambassadors speak more than one language, by the way. The language of the Spirit. But you're the ambassadors of Christ. You know what they do? They go and they meet and they speak the word as though Christ is speaking face to face. Not because of who they are, but because of his authority of this book. So someone here tonight, and all you can see is an old book. All you can see is an old story. And all you've ever heard is the old thing. Brothers and sisters and friends tonight, if you're there, that's all you're ever going to hear from the old book. The old, old story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. If you're not saved tonight, he's the same Christ. But he's the same one who died, shed his blood, and he's the same one who's coming back again. May you get ready. May you get saved. And may you come and talk with us and we'll lead you to him. The one in whom is life eternal. May God bless you tonight. Team, as you come up, and we'll sing and we'll let the people get away home. Thank you for your attendance tonight and for your attention.